beginning a three-week series, A Great Light in the Darkness, basically preaching the gospel. So let's take a moment to bless Pastor Joseph. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here and hear your word and hear about the great news of the coming of your son, Jesus. Thank you for sending him to bless us and teach us and to ultimately give his life to save us from damnation. Please be with Pastor Joseph, speak through his words, touch his mind and his heart, and help us to hear what you have to say through Pastor Joseph. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you. How are you today? I'm very happy to see Kathy and Lydia. The reason I say that, Jackie, sorry. Thank you for help. It just shows our ministry has come a long way. I don't remember how many years back.
I think 2003.
2003, okay. Wow. We had the college ministry then. Now we have more college students than Kim. Come. So, Lydia, welcome back. Hopefully you get into the... Did you come here to see the campus this time? UC Berkeley? Okay, welcome back. Your father used to attend. Time flew by fast. Almost Christmas. For me, this year is over. So many things need to be done, already done. Praise the Lord. So before I share the message, I'll still open the time for maybe 5 minutes for those who like to share the give thanksgiving to the Lord. We try to build a kingdom culture. In this past week, anything... you feel you want to give thanks to the Lord, feel free to share right now, okay? We hope don't wait, just whatever you have. I think there'll be a lot of thanksgiving, right? David, not ahead, are you the one to start? Yeah, there's a mic here. Tell people your name and the share, because we have a lot of visitors today.
You know, God is so good. He does take care of the little details in our life, even though we don't expect it or we don't plan for it. So I had this tooth problem for since my last dental visit 3 months ago. And because I used up all my dental benefits, I thought, I'm going to wait till January, right? Well, anyway, Wednesday morning, my dentist secretary calls, oh, can you make a appointment for JJ, he's due for a dental cleaning. Well, he's off my plan. And also, I had to pay $270 in the past for 3 no-shows. So that's his problem, so I'm not going to do it. And I said, hey, by the way, I have this tooth problem that I haven't resolved since the last visit, and I got a mouth guard, but it still doesn't help. And she said, well, do you want to come in and let's take a look? When I went in, it was a very serious situation. I couldn't even wait. And so I said, oh, I think it's, oh, they took the x-ray, and it's, oh, it's a tooth gum abscess, so we have to go in there and clean it out and all that. And so when they're cleaning, my dentist stops. We need to pull the tooth. Yeah, there's a big crack, and that's explained for the problem I have. Like, usually, you know how the dentist, they probe your gums, like, it was a 2, 3, or 4. My number is always 2 and 3s, maybe a couple of 4s. But this time was 10. I said, wow, I never had a 10. And so they had to pull it out. So, you know, I didn't expect that I'm going to have a tooth pulled Wednesday afternoon, but I'm glad I did. I didn't plan to have a dental appointment. It just happened that they called for to make an appointment for JJ. But it turned out I went in, and they say if you don't take care of it, maybe continue to let go, there's going to be bone loss. As fast as 2 weeks. So now God just know what we need, and he did. Things happen that we don't expect, it, but it's for our own good.
Okay. So I have two things to be thankful. The first thing is I had my cell phone for a few years, and it works fine. And I said, I don't need to upgrade, you know. And then just last week, my phone had a problem. Suddenly died for no reason. I said, oh, maybe I need to upgrade. So good thing right now, because there are sales, and I missed the Cyber Monday, and I went to T-Mobile website, the sale is still on. I said, okay, cool. So I got a phone, $100, you know, after discount. It's a good phone. I said, thank God, my phone, you know, died, you know, have problem at the right time. It's on sale right now, you know. And then second thing is, you guys all know that I like to do evangelism. So Saturday, I like to go to park to walk. So this Saturday morning, before I go to work, I actually prayed to God. I told Luke too, I said, I hope I can meet the Chinese people in the park so I can invite the person to go to church, you know. And because this happened before. And so I went to park. Very few people. I went kind of late, in the, like 1 o'clock. So I came back. I was a little disappointed. I said, okay, God didn't answer my prayer this time. And then another thing happened is there is a house on our street for sale. And I know the seller. I know the realtor. As you know, I'm an insurance agent. I really want to insure that house. And then yesterday I saw sales pending. That means somebody gonna buy, already offer, already accepted. So I was walking to the park. I was trying to think. So how can I? It's a little pushy to ask the buyer or the seller's agent to refer this cast buyer to me because he's not the buyer's agent. I was kind of thinking to pray to God. So I said, God, I hope this is your will, you make it happen. Just before I get to in front of our house, I saw a black Audi car pulling on the street. And then right in front of the house, I thought, oh, something going to happen. So I saw a young guy dressed nice come out, and then the Chinese couple comes out. I said, this is the new buyer, because it's still pending. Nobody come to the open house, you know. So I walked to them. I said, hey, excuse me, are you the new buyer? They were a little surprised. I said, oh, I just live down the street. I saw, and finally, you know, the house had been marketed for more than a month. Finally, we got a buyer. They said, yeah. And then I saw them, the Chinese couple, I can tell. I said, you speak Chinese? They said, yeah, we're from originally from Beijing. So I said, from Qingdao. I said, actually, I'm an insurance agent at AAA. You know, if you need insurance, you can call me. I have my card to him. So I hand to them. They really like me. They're like, great, we'll become neighbors. I said, I'll be honest with you. I wish there's a Chinese buyer here so I have a neighbor. So, yeah, so hopefully, you know, they'll get insurance from me. I get home. I shared it with Luke. I said, hallelujah, you know, right timing. You know, it kind of happened that the right timing that I saw them coming out of the car, go to the house, you know. If I went to the park a little bit earlier, I would miss them, you know. So my point is, God answers our prayers sometimes not the way we want, but he has, you know, other plans. So I said, well, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I cannot. Okay, if you don't have message, it's not my... I only have 1 minute.
I have two. Okay. I have to have 2 minutes. Yeah, so first thing is my daughter's boyfriend break up with her, so I was so happy. You know, I'm sorry, but if you didn't know, he wasn't the right one, and so it was many heartbroken episodes already. So this time, he broke up with her again. I'm like, hallelujah! Thank you. I think God is supporting on me with me on this too. And the other one is Ryan's cousin Aaron. Their family accepted Jesus last night, and they were looking for a Spanish-speaking church. And this morning, I was asked Maria, who was our member before, and to help them find a church. So she gave us a church in Richmond Barrett for them, and just text them, and it's just so happy that I have to share. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Lisa. Can you tell us your name? And nice to see you.
Yeah. Thank you. At first, I thought I would not say anything, but then I heard the brother right here mention about a vehicle. So it reminded a big blessing that I have. So I want to share that. And so another reason is because I'm a new member. I just visit. I got thank you. I got a referral from a friend. My name is Diem. Yeah, it's Diem. So again, thank you for making me feel being welcome. And about the vehicle, last year my car was very old and it would stop when the weather is hot. So I don't know when it gonna not starting the engine. And I only have that car, and I need it for work. So, but then I didn't have enough money. So I pray and save up and looking for a pre-owned car. And I looked, and I was very stressful to the point that I need to pray, because I know that for my own ability, I wouldn't be able to buy a car. And then by all the blessing at the end of the year, I got a new car. So, yes, so he worked it out. So my uncle support with the finance and also co-sign. So it turned out perfectly. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is really with us. And the first timer started to share the thanksgiving to the Lord. Well, you know, we know this is a Christmas season. I don't want to just be stereotyped, you know, say the right thing and the right words and go through emotion. But I want to share with you is a great light in darkness. I think we are in a time really full of darkness. Talk about this terrorist attack of the fear. It's not in Europe right now, right in Southern California, right in our turf. But that we really need a hope. I'd like to share the news today. You know, we intend to reach the seekers. I really encourage you to invite. I think God, I have a Thanksgiving. Today I do want to see some new faces. And God brought so many new faces today. People even came all the way from Hong Kong, from Singapore. I'm very touched. The Lord is faithful. Amen? Amen. But as the local, we need to invite. As local, we need to invite too. Right, to share the good news. I think the light is very important, right? Light is so essential to our existence. In the daytime, we have sun. We don't consider that. But at night, if without light, we can do nothing. In those blackout days, you know that. But today, I want to share a great light in darkness. A great light. I refer to our days right now. We need a great light. First of all, I'd like to start with the condition of mankind. All are in darkness. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 depicts the thing of Jesus Christ came to this world. It's very strange. You say he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This world, part of the universe, was created by God the Son, Jesus, in the beginning. But when he came to this world cannot recognize him. If you read the four Gospels, you realize those religious leaders oppose him all the way. May I ask you why? Why this world cannot recognize Jesus, cannot receive him? Why? Your answer right is my first point. Because there's spiritual darkness, right? They don't know who God is. They are in the spiritual darkness. So perhaps you ask, what is darkness? My definition is darkness is absence of light. When there's no light, it's dark, right? In those blackout days, there's no light. You need to use the candle or anything. But whenever there's a light, there's no darkness. Amen? Are you with me?
Yes.
The best way is we just have no lights here and suddenly have a light turn on. You know what my point is. I think that right now our nation, America, this beautiful nation, is in the condition of spiritual darkness and moral darkness. In a very subtle way, in the last maybe 40 years, gradually but surely, we turn away from the truth, absolute truth. We live in the postmodernism era. A trait of that is nobody believes the absolute truth right now. That's the trait. So when you listen to people, it's always my opinion, his opinion, their opinions. But where is the truth? Because the trait of the postmodernism era is people don't believe in absolute truth. So once this happens, it's terrible. Gradually but surely, everything will become permissible. That's a crisis. That's the beginning of the darkness, but it's pretty dark. Like, for instance, the institution of marriage right now is very confusing. Since the gay marriage is legalized, right now people even cannot say this because they say you're homophobia. No, let's go back to the truth. What is the institution of marriage? What is the institutional family? What should be the right relationship with male and female, etc., etc.? This has become very blurred. Confusion, right? Just by common sense, what's your opinion about gambling? Do you think gambling have anything good for mankind? Just by common sense. Gambling. Yeah, but what's the price for that, right? By essence, gambling is, even you say that is a propaganda gradually saturate to this culture, right? By any way, gambling is no good for a human being in the long run. There are many funds in this world, but gradually, right, they brainwash, it's fun, it's a relax. So you can see so many casinos everywhere now. For those people in the ministry try to help people get rid of addiction to gambling, it's very difficult because even harder is right online. You can do online gambling, is that right? But this is a part of the trades that become so common now, and we don't realize it. And today I want to go to a case study with you in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We can read this together, and I have to move quickly. Let's read this. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Let's read together. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teacher of the law and the Pharisee brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group.
Thank you.
trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he strengthened up and said to them, any one of you again, he stooped down and rolled on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older one first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus strengthened up and asked her, woman, Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I just want to do a case study here. First, I want to ask your opinion about those religious leaders. Are they in the light or in darkness? Religious leader you just read. Many of you are familiar with this story, right? How many of you already read this story before? I think most of you. So what's your opinion right now? We come to the postmodernism and ask the opinion right now. What, as you read the scripture, what do you think about the religious leader based upon what we read just now? Are they in the darkness or in the light? What's the evidence? Because the scripture just say, right? They tried to trap Jesus. There was a woman caught in adultery. They brought to Jesus. They, according to the Mosaic law, should be stoned to death. And we know you're from God. What's your opinion? What should we do? How can Jesus respond? Either way will be hard for him, right? If Jesus say, okay, let's stone her to death. And they will say, well, I thought you came from God. You say love, you know, mercy, and now you have no mercy. You're a hypocrite. If Jesus say, no, we cannot stone her. We give her a second chance. What will be the result, you know? Jesus and that woman both will be stoned to death. Because they will say, Jesus disobeyed Mosaic law. So either way, Jesus has no way out. But the religious leader, it seems like they try to clean the society, right? They caught someone in adultery. I just wonder, have you ever thought about where was another man? They just caught a woman. Where is the man? The woman cannot have adultery just by herself, right? So the whole thing is a trap. So religious leader in those days, scribes and Pharisees, they were so threatened by Jesus' influence. You read the four Gospels, they were very jealous. They sent a spy to catch Jesus. So they were in the darkness. And how about, what's your opinion about the crowd? When religious leaders continue to pressure Jesus to respond, what should they do to this woman? Verse 7, he strengthened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Verse 9, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. May I ask you why the older ones left first? Yes. So the longer we live, the chances we sin more, unless we stop. But many times we cannot stop. So from the oldest to the youngest, they all left because they realize they are in the darkness. It's so beautiful, is the scripture read toward the end, only the woman there. Thank God Jesus didn't leave, right? Jesus asked people over that, if he has sinned, he has to leave too, right? Have you ever thought about that? The woman cannot leave because she has been judged. But Jesus didn't leave. Are you thankful for that? Jesus, oh, sorry, I have sinned too. I have to go. Well, if Jesus asked people, I'm not kidding, this is a very serious Bible study, right? Have you thought about that? When Jesus asked anyone to have sinned, you can cast the first stone, that including himself. We praise the Lord. So the whole crowd was convicted. They are in the darkness. And the woman, very obviously, she lived in the darkness. And so we see that. But what is the solution? I apologize to you. I mentioned about a lot of words of darkness. And that's a reality right now. Right now, we need to have the solution, right? The solution is Jesus is the solution. Jesus is the great light of darkness. He's the light of the world. In the Gospel of John chapter 9, verse 5 reads, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." I have been involved in the American Return to God prayer movement, and that we have a prayer meeting all the time, every year, and this and that. As we continue to pray, how can we help the Chinese church in Bay Area, in North America, you know, to turn to the Lord, the church to help the community to turn to the Lord? We realize as we pray more and more for America in different area, we realize we really need to pray for ourselves. Amen. When we talk about darkness here and there, dear brother and sister, dear friends, there's a darkness really is in our own life. Amen. We need the Lord to turn on the lights. When Jesus, that day, when he sit there, when those religious leaders continue to press on him, say, "What should we do? Should we stone this woman or not?" They continue to focus on the woman, on the issue, try to trap Jesus. Jesus turned around and said, "Whoever hasn't sinned can cast the first stone." When Jesus say that, the presence of God came to everyone. I believe there were so many people there that day. Amen. The enlightenment come. They start to look at their life like a film. So from the oldest to the youngest, dear brother and sister, friends, even this is the first time you come to church, that's fine. We come to the presence of God. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light that needs to shine into our life. Amen. As we celebrate Christmas, even now that you cannot say Christmas, you say Happy Holidays. They try to remove every name of Jesus from this holiday. That's a spiritual darkness, dear brother and sister. That's the evidence. Very dark. What the world, if we celebrate someone's birthday, we cannot mention that person's name. Have you thought about that? What's the Christmas about? Think about image nowadays. What's the Christmas about? Can you tell me what the image do you see? Do you see Jesus' picture? No. Santa Claus. Right? Christmas gift. But that's not the essence of Christmas. It's about Jesus Christ, right? So it's pretty dark. But the darkness we need to see is from our life. We need to return to God as a believer. Amen? And one time Jesus dialogued with his disciples. They are in a different level. So Thomas say, "You know, if we don't know your way, how can we go with you?" And Jesus turned around and said, "I'm the way. No one can come to my Father except through me." I think I want to share with you a little bit. Jesus light the world in three aspects. First, he's the way. This is very important. When the old mankind are lost in the wilderness of meaningless and purposeless in life. Actually, until you know the Lord, until you meet God, you are lost. That's a kind of darkness, the lostness. But Jesus is the way. When he dialogued with Thomas, he talked about, "You see the Father, you see me," etc. You know, it's very interesting when you read the gospel. Many times when Jesus talked with his disciples, they are in a different level, like a different world. Jesus say something, disciples thought about something else. But Jesus still so patiently with them, continue to teach them. If you don't understand what I'm talking about right now, be patient with me. You can talk with me afterward. And then Jesus respond to Thomas, you continue want to figure out the way here and there, but I tell you, I am the way. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus is the way. Jesus is literally the way, because he will give you the meaning of life. Amen? I really mean it. I constantly challenge our college students. Most of them are not here, which is understandable because of the final exam. I say, why do you study at UC Berkeley? Lydia, if you're coming, I want to ask you this question too. Why do you want to study in UC Berkeley? Oh, because it's the best university in the world. One of them. Why? Why do you study the major you have? Really, one time we went to Napa Winery, you know, with majority of college students. I asked them these questions. They say, Pastor Joseph, it's nonsense. Why did you ask this kind of dumb questions? The reason we are in Cal Berkeley, we have no choice. Our parents say, that's the only few school you have to go. I say, that's not a good answer. You don't live for your parents. One day your parents will be gone. Amen? I think that's also a question we should ask each one of you. Why do you work so hard? Oh, why do you ask this? Look at my bill. Why do you marry? Why do you have children? Dear brother and sister, I really want to ask you to ask yourself this question. This is very foundational. If you don't, why do you want to buy a new car? Well, of course, my old car is not workable. You know, this sister shared just now, bless you, you get a car. But I think we need to go to the foundational issue about why do we exist. If you don't have a good answer, you cannot be happy. Whether you get what you want or you don't get it. Amen? But Jesus said, I'm the way. Come to me. I give you the answer. Through me, in me, through the born again, you will find out the ultimate purpose. I tell you, why do you study in UC Berkeley? Because you're going to study for eternity. I do not mean you stay in Berkeley eternally. You study for the eternal reason for Jesus. Amen? He's the King. He will give you a purpose of life. That's very important. Why do you marry? Oh, I'm lonely. That's part of the reason. Why do you marry? I'm getting old. That's a very good reason. Then you need to hurry up. Why do you marry? Because my parents say so. Oh, that's a very good reason too. But you don't marry someone or marry in certain times just for your parents. They make mistakes too. Maybe you should never marry. You later on turn out, oh, Pastor Joseph, I live in the hell. Dear brother and sister, this is a very foundational issue. You don't listen to me. When you come to a certain stage of life, you'll be totally lost. They call midlife crisis. As a matter of fact, you don't have to wait until midlife. Our younger generation, they have crisis every day, every week, because they don't know who they are. But Jesus is the way. I tell you today. Secondly, Jesus is the truth. When the governor of Judea, Pilate, who was interrogating Jesus, the Jewish leader continued to accuse Jesus. And suddenly, he asked Jesus, what is truth? It didn't mean Pilate suddenly have accused us about truth. He was very arrogant, sarcastic. Look at Jesus and say, what is truth? Those who have power has truth. I have power right now over you, Jesus. I can release you or let you be crucified. What is truth? Many people, they graduate from college when they were young. They pursue truth. They are very idealistic, but not too long. They all compromise, right? We all part of that. We just say, wow, there's no truth. What is truth? I look at dictionary. That which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. I don't think it answered the question either. A fact or belief that is accepted as true when it's capitalized with a big T is a transcendent fundamental. I think Christian faith, truth is the self-expression of God. You know, Jesus is truth. He spoke truthfully. He taught truthfully. And his teaching is full of truth. And look at his life. He is the truth. Have you ever thought about that? The truth actually is a person who manifests the truth of God. Isn't that interesting? It's not a cold factual data. It's Jesus is the truth. Have you ever thought about that? What does that mean? His teaching, his life, his example, even now, through the Holy Spirit, he teaches the truth to you through me right now. Jesus is the truth. This is very important. He's the way, he's the truth, and finally, he's the life. Mankind in darkness is not just because morally, it's spiritually. Because the sin, we separate from God, we are dead spiritually. Understand? We cannot change ourselves. It's not an improvement. It's a transformation, conversion. Amen? Those believers along with me, say amen, please. Amen. We are not African-American church, but we can respond actively. Amen, amen? Amen. Jesus is the life. And this world needs a life. And that life starts with you and me. Do you have life? He said, of course I have life. I'm breathing and breathe out. That's not called life. That's called existence. There's a difference between existence and life. Let's tell you the joke. We as a minister, we get together every week. We have prayer meeting. So I ask them, how are you doing? Some of them say, I'm still alive. 中文说我还活着. I think they are very honest. When I say this in the darkness, including myself, I'm not trying to condemn people. We are in the very, human beings are very weak. Living in barriers is not easy. You need to make a living. Look at about 8 p.m. every day, how many cars still on the freeway? They even hadn't hit home, haven't eaten anything after whole day work and dinner time so far down the road. Amen? They just want to make a living. They just want to survive. Trying to exist, raising kids, deal with challenging spouse. I not try to be negative, I try to be realistic. I'm very optimistic. It's not easy. But Jesus said, I am the life. I come to give you have an abundant life. What is abundant life? It's more than just have a lot of things. No. Have a lot of things, sometimes the worst life is you have so many things you want to get rid of, right? You need to organize them. Abundant life is life has high quality. You say, how high? You will last forever. My slogan is, my purpose of life is live for eternity. Those people agree with me, say amen.
Amen.
Eternity. From now on, you do anything, think about that. Not just for the present pleasure. Amen? When you talk about eternity, you have to refer to the eternal God. There's nothing called eternity outside God. God alone, outside the time and space, he lasts forever and ever. It doesn't mean boring. It's very exciting existence forever. Many people say, oh, when we go to heaven, we're going to praise God, worship God forever and ever. It's so boring. No, you're wrong. Just because our earthly worship experience is not that exciting doesn't mean heaven is boring. No. Our earthly worship experience had to come to the level of heavenly level. Amen?
Amen?
We need to worship and dance and fully enjoy. You guys here, the heaven come to the earth. You don't have to come to worship God in church. You can worship when you're taking a shower. You worship when you have breakfast at night. before you go to bed, you can worship God. Amen? So Jesus is the light of the world. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Isn't that wonderful? That's enough. You can go out to share about this. But most important, you have to back up with your life experience, your testimony. Is Jesus really the way in your life? Is Jesus really the truth in your life? Is Jesus really the life in your life? Do I have that? Amen? So the second point, the Lord Jesus, the solution is the follower must walk in the light. Jesus say that. Where does he say? I need to find out scripture. I am the light of the world. Whoever follow me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You say, how can I do that? As a believer, it's very simple or it's very tough. You have to read the word every day and practice your life according to the word. Because the word of God is enlighten us. Amen? But how about we screw up, we fail? Just repent. Be a quick repenter. Whenever you sin, you repent. Turn away from the wrong way. You say, I don't have the power. That's why you need the Holy Spirit, the counselor, to help you. He will counsel you, comfort you, empower you. That's why you need to, you and I need to join the cell group. That's why I strongly encourage English group have triad group. We need the people support each other, hold each other accountable. When you walk alone, you'll be devoured by Satan. Roaring lion looking for those loners. No. The Christian always just by himself. Lone Ranger. Thank you for help. As a seeker, if you are still not a believer, you can have the light today. You need to receive Jesus, Savior and the Lord, but my time is up. You can see me afterward, and I can help you. And I definitely you will go and have a light from now on. If you receive Jesus into your life as Savior and the Lord, you really have a new life. We have so many testimonies. Even just now, the Thanksgiving is a wonderful testimony. Jesus cared for us, even for small things. To have a car, the selling, the knee, the tooth. He cared. To him, that's not a small thing. Amen? To you, that's not a small thing. But think about, he's the King of universe. I believe God has many things on his plate, but he cared for Marlene's tooth. Your car. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to have the Holy Communion. Let's remind us, Jesus is the great light of the world in this dark time. Full of fear and terror, we know who is our protection. May we have the younger generation coming, the kids, for the Holy Communion. Based upon the historian, Bible commentator, when the time Jesus was born, it was a very dark time for the Jewish people. They were waiting for the Messiah for a long time. Spiritually, they were very low and flat. In that time, Jesus came. Today, we're going to have the Holy Communion. We live in a very challenging time for Christians to live out faith. I just pray this Holy Communion will encourage us, strengthen us, remind us who we are. Amen? We are children of God. Amen? This bread refers to Jesus' body being broken for each one of us. This cup refers to Jesus' blood being shed for each one of us. He wants us to do this in remembrance of him until he returns. Amen? I think before we take this bread and cup, I'd like to invite all of us. If you have received Jesus as Savior and the Lord and been baptized, you can take this cup and bread. If you don't know what I'm talking about, more likely you're not. you're not allowed to take this bread cup today until you know what I'm talking about. But all the believers, Christians, I'd like you to spend some time to examine your heart and examine your life. Jesus is the great light. May His light shine in our life. Amen. Before we take the bread and cup, if we sin against people, against God, we confess to the Lord. Ask for His forgiveness. If we have something with people, we need to reconcile. Not as we hear, but we can do that in a private time. Well, there's some time of prayer before the Lord. Jesus, we ask for your help to learn about this truth. You are the light of the world. Those who follow you will no more walk in the darkness. But we are your follower. We don't want to continue to walk in the darkness. May your light shine right now to each one of us. Search our heart. Any way we is offensive to you, may you reveal to us. Give us a humble and teachable heart. Even for that is the grace of God. By nature we cannot be humble. We are not teachable. The Lord, I just ask for your grace right now. May the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us. Wash away our sin. We sin against you. That's David's prayer. May you give us David's heart, a man after God's own heart. We thank you for the bread and cup, representing your sacrifice for us. In order to give us light, you die in our place. Us today as we take this Holy Communion. Remind us you will come again, and that day is drawing near. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite the people from the last row, maybe the younger generation, come forward, take your bread and cup. all stand and pray to the Lord. Thank for the bread and cup. Thank for His truth, way, and life. When you find a person, you can take the bread and cup together. Find someone you feel comfortable, you have the bread and cup together. Bless each other. Thank the Lord. Worship here, and God bless you.